We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show No Huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go!
NFL No Huddle every single day to kick off the 11 o'clock hour here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. John Chuckery in for Randy McMichael today. This hour brought to you by R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up, another way they make you smile. Now, Dan Quinn was on with Duke Sabel on Friday afternoon. First chance we've gotten to talk to Dan Quinn one-on-one in some time. I know he was available to the media a couple times at OTAs the last couple weeks. Mandatory minicamp begins next week. And I know we'll get a chance to talk to him out there again, but this was the first time that he had been interviewed on this radio station directly in quite some time since the draft. And that's why they started out by saying to Dan Quinn, "Hey, coach, you really surprised us on draft day."
I told you early on where my heart was, you know, so.
You did.
We were good, but we were real intentional about, you know, adding some guys to the group. And so that was some through free agencies and, you know, certainly through the draft. But we've had some good guys, man. The OTAs have been fun to get started. Both Carp and Jamon Brown, Luke Stocker, Adrian Claiborne, Tyler Davidson, J.J. Wilcox have been some guys who've played a lot of ball. And now to bring them into our group and see them, you know, get in the mix and seeing all the things they can do, that's been a lot of fun. And then on the draft side, I think we have 23 rookies. And so we're fully underway with them. They've got some big-time mentors of guys to help them get, you know, and kind of mind the gap of the spots they need and how to improve on some areas, you know, guys who would really look after you and help you get ready. And so they're coming into a good space for people who are, you know, wanting to push them and, you know, push them to the standards we want them to play at. So it's been a busy time here over the last couple weeks, but an excellent one.
It is Dan Quinn, head coach of the Falcons, with us here, guys, on Dukes and Bell. And, Coach, remember a couple of years back when you had Schweitzer and Garland battling for a guard spot, and we'd ask you every week out at camp, you're going to have unbelievable competition because you could argue this is the most depth you've had as a coach here on offensive line.
Yeah, for sure it is. And it's going to be at guard. It'll be at tackle. And so having that kind of you know, flexibility, and it'll be a while. You know this. From the big guys, it just takes more time in pads. They're – ball right now, especially for, you know, both Carp and Jamon, you know, learning the system and how to get going. And then the same thing with the rookies, the calls. Then when you add the, you know, the physicality part on training camp and the preseason game. So fortunately for us, this is a good time to add an extra preseason game. So for some of the rookies, they're going to get extra time. And to me, that's exactly, you know, what you'd want as a rookie. And certainly for me as the coach, I can't wait to see a number of these guys get some extra terms.
It is Coach Dan Quinn joining us here on Dukes and Bell. DQ, what about your job now as defensive coordinator? Now, it's nothing new to you, but hiring the two guys you did on the offensive side. And Mike and I have been talking a lot about this, and I'd like for you to explain a little bit how much easier, or maybe even from a confidence level, how much more you have now to not have to worry about the offensive stuff with an experience of a Dirk Cutter and a Mike Mularkey being in those rooms.
Yeah, and what we do on Tuesday and Thursday mornings, you know, a group of us get up early and get going on some game management topics. We've been throwing as many situations as you can at the team. And so all of a sudden we'll have these meetings. All right, I got one. Is this another one from this year? And this happened. And so all the experience that Mike and Dirk bring to the room, we just go through as many scenarios and teaching opportunities. So between Bob Sutton, Dirk, Mike Mularkey, Greg Knapp, on the coaching staff, you know, we've got a few hundred years of coaching experience. And we're going to try and utilize every single bit of it. But for me personally, it's been nice because I've got such trust, in those guys and Greg Knapp, you know, with the quarterbacks and all the things that we do. So their connection is an important one, too. It's not something that the fans would talk about. They know the importance of team chemistry, but the offensive staff, their connection player to player and to the coaches as well, it's a really important one. And we've really put in good work so far this spring. We got one more week of OTAs, and then we'll finish things up with the mini camp. But I couldn't be more pleased with that side of the ball, their intent, their readiness, and the package that we're putting together.
I mean, you're a defensive line coach. That's how you made your bones in this game. You went on record saying you're going to get more out of Vic Beasley. The option gets picked up. How do you feel that he's not here in OTAs?
Well, I knew that was something when we discussed through the spring. We went through the film session, and there's nothing like the work that you get out on the field. So not having the ability to do that, you know, that's a bummer. But we've got so many guys here that are totally putting out, man, to see the amount of work taking place. Tax having an excellent offseason, all the speed that we're doing with him. To have Adrian back in, I've got plenty of guys that's taken up a good bit of my time, and we're having a lot of fun doing it. It's been fun being in the meetings with them and talking through new ideas. There's been a lot of changes, you know, that we've tried to tweak and add to the package. So it's been a really a fun spring.
Coach, I want to ask you about that. In layman's terms, best as possible, if you could explain to our listeners, because I had guys coming at me yesterday, Dukes, what is Coach talking about moving Tack to linebacker and putting him over to tight end? Can you give us just the gist of what this is about?
Sure. Why don't we start with what we do the most? And so we play 70% of our time in nickel defense. So that's probably, if you played 1,000 snaps, you play 700 in nickel. And so that takes up a good bit of the time for everybody. And then when we put Tack and Vic and AC out at linebacker, we're kind of playing both sides. Sometimes he could be a linebacker. Sometimes he could be a rusher. During this time of year, I like to experiment and move guys to different spaces. That way, if you ever need a guy to fill in and play some spots, he's capable of doing that. So the thing that we do most with the outside backers and rushers, I kind of all group them together, the nickel defensive ends is rush, and that's where we spend most of our time. So we don't do a whole lot of work on the drop side for the rushers, but having that kind of versatility in the offseason, it's honestly the ideal to get the extra work, because without pads, you don't get the type of pass rush you normally do. So we spend as much time as we can trying to make the guys as versatile as they can, and it helps when you get into the season. Hey, man, remember when we did this back then? Oh, yeah. Okay, now we can add that to the package. So not too much to read into there. We'll feature the guys in the best ways, and we're close to getting some other guys back to Keanu and Rico and getting them back. They're close to being their return. Feels good to have that kind of energy back and getting going with the guys.
It is Dan Quinn with us, guys, here getting a chance to kind of debrief on what's going on with OTAs as we get ready for 19. Coach, he's making a tour of a lot of teams. Would you have interest in Gerald McCoy at tackle?
Well, we've coached against him a number of spots, and the quickness that he has, the pass rushing ability. But for us, we don't want check into too many guys that aren't on the team. So if that changes, we'll let you and the listeners know. But for right now, we're really, pushing as where we can. But, man, lots of respect for, Gerald, what he's done on and off the field. You can imagine all the connections we have to him through Raheem and Dirk and others. So much respect, and we'll see where it goes. But nothing to report as of right now.
Coach Quinn, as we're talking about the defense, as you've been evaluating things this offseason, what did you think the most important thing moving towards the season is going to be for this defense to get back into the top 10?
Yeah, well, a number of things. And we went back through a number of years in the system from 2013 all the way through 18, thousands of plays. What were some things that needed tweaking? What were some things that needed attention? And really, at the start of it, you want to make sure where are we at, in terms of forcing turnovers, affecting the quarterback. At the heart of it, those are two things that can impact the game the most. You've heard me say, you want to be a defense that strikes the fear of God into people, and part of that comes from affecting the quarterback, creating turnovers. And when we get to that space, that's when we'll be at our best. We've got work to do in that spot, but what's been so much fun about this spring, there are some new adjustments and things that we've done. So having the guys get into the mix and learning new things, especially for guys that have been around the program for a few years. So having some new calls and some new things to try out and experiment with has been a lot of fun.
Is Isaiah Oliver ready to take the next step?
Isaiah really is. I thought coming into this spring, you had a sense about his maturity and his seriousness, his approach for it. And then when we went into the spring, these are the two, three things he wanted you to really emphasize. Ridley's taken that jump. I've seen Isaiah take that jump so far. Ito Smith's been another one. Russell Gage. So that happens in the second year as you're coming through. So many things now as they're going through the second lap, they happen so much quicker. And they're doing a good job of helping bring this rookie class along. For 365 days they followed, and now they're ready to lead some other guys and help bring them along. And that's part of being on this team, to help guys get to that space, because some of these rookies this year will help us win some games, and people recognize that. So how do we get them up to speed and knowing that, like, every single moment counts? So we're going to try and max it out as hard as we can, but I've been encouraged by Isaiah especially.
It is Dan Quinn, guys, our head football coach of our Atlanta Falcons, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. I want to ask you about Free because, to me, he's kind of the missing link. And
yeah.
And when you talk mm-hmm. about our run game, and, Coach, with all due respect, you know this. It was non-existent last year. Matt did some incredible things with really no real run game, and there are a multitude of reasons. We tried to fix the O-line. But what about Free and his resurgence now with our football team?
I know. I was sitting next to him in the when we were in a team meeting today. I said, man, it is so good to see you back. And by that I meant, you know, his energy, his quickness, his speed. I said, you look like yourself, man. And he said, I'm having fun. I'm working hard. I've got a lot to prove. And so those things, when you see him out on the field, what he brings, you knew how talented he is and the effort and, like, all the energy he brings. But sometimes you forget out of the backfield when he puts that foot in the ground and explodes how difficult a cover he is. We call them option routes where, you know, a linebacker or a safety has a certain leverage on a player. And so as he goes to double that person up, puts his foot in the ground, all of a sudden he's got this separation of 3 yards. And it's like, and it happens in like a split second. So Matt puts the ball right on him, and you're like, that's how it's supposed to look. You're like, okay. And in the run game, the same thing. We've got a good stable of backs now. We're getting them a lot of work in the run game. Allison and Barner and Hill and Ito and Free.
Right.
So all of those guys are getting a good bit of turns and reps, and we're really pushing those guys to see how far they can take it. And they're off to a good start. I love the way they all have some unique things. Free's the one that plays all three downs and in all ways. So we're trying to make sure we're, you know, keeping him up to speed on the things that he does really well. And we're going to try and feature that as often as we can.
Dan Quinn with us, guys, here breaking it down. And I guess Falcon fans, Coach, if there's a game plan, you made the commitment for offensive line, you and Thomas Dimitroff, we're going to be, if we're rolling, it's going to be like 16. We're scoring 35 points, and the defense can pin their ears back and get the QB.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I'm with you. That sounds like a hell of a plan. That sounds a lot easier the way you
guys
are. I know.
Well, no, six, you, like Carl said to start the interview, we were so locked in on, like, defensive tackle. And by the way, were you still like, oh, like squinching white knuckles when you see all these DTs falling in the draft?
Well, I knew there were some good guys to it, and we've got a pretty good one that's going to be lining up for us as well this year that we've got high hopes for in Grady. So if we can add, you know, the pieces in some of the guys I've described earlier, and we're going to add some safeties back into the mix, and we've added some other players with it, and I think you'll like the combination that, you know, that we line up with defensive line. But you're right, it was a good group, and there was probably six or seven of them that really lit me up. But we want to be real intentional about where we're at and just always make the best decisions for the team. And offensive line picks, wherever you pick them, they're not shiny, but shiny isn't what we needed. We needed, you know, as much toughness and dog competitors and finishing. And although we won't talk about them a lot, their attitude and style between free agency and the draft, the guys we've added, you'll love the style that they play and ultimately that we play as a team. So it'll be a lot of fun to put him in the mix.
Yeah, Coach, I found out Caleb McGarry likes, you know, swords and sharpening knives and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, he's my kind of dude. I like this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't want any offensive line, you know, like, you know, on some, you know, hobbies that are, you know, things that aren't, you know, aggressive and tough and everything, you know. Like,
I know you got to be PC, but we follow you.
We totally get you. Hey, let
that
me.
That was as close to PC as you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we do. We totally get it. It is Dan Quinn. I want to ask you about pressure and whether it's fair or not coming off of last season. Do you feel any? Do you think there is any on you?
Well, one, like, we've got really high standards of how we want to play. And so from coaching to playing, so pressure, no, man, like, this is the best, you know, environment that you could ever be in, work and play football. So for us, man, we can't wait to go after it. Would you say competitive, chip on your shoulder, things to prove? Hell yeah. And my most competitive memories are those moments. But as far as pressure that goes to that, like, if it's the standard that I hope we can set for this team is really high. and would exceed many expectations probably that you and some of the fans have. So we're going to go for it and light our hair on fire and go for it like crazy, man. So that's the attitude. That's the mindset. And this team can do some really good things. We're connecting big time. And now it's a matter of, you know, finding all the unique things that guys have and how do we feature them best and keep working these situations like we are at practice. So so far, so good for us. And we're very excited about where we're headed.
Dan Quinn with Dukes and Bell on Friday afternoon. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, I know they talked to Coach Quinn around 4 o'clock. So, you know, I figure 11 o'clock audience on a Monday morning might not have had a chance to hear that yet. Hopefully you liked what you heard. They covered a lot of ground in there. Look, I know that there's not going to always, you know, there's not going to be a ton of bulletin board stuff coming out of a late May interview with a head coach out of OTAs, but still, he covered a lot of ground, talked about a lot of the guys, and one of the things that they pointed to was guys that need to take that jump from year one to year two. We'll react more to what Coach Quinn said coming up on the other side, but if you had to identify that guy who was a rookie last year that has to be that guy this year, I think he's 26 now.
Oh, is he?
I think he changed his number. Yeah, Isaiah Oliver.
Yeah.
I think he changed his number to 26.
No question that he is going to have that growth spurt this year, especially if those two guys don't get enough of it done. He's going to have a real growing up lesson.
You mean those two edge rushers?
First round picks that we have on each end of the line of scrimmage?
Because they've gotten a lot of the conversation. But I think that there's other concerns, too.
Oh, there's a lot of concerns.
We'll get into that on the other side as well. Hey, how would you like to see a chance to see the Rolling Stones live in concert?
I saw them in 1989.
Well, you could do it in 2019. Oh. The Rolling Stones No Filter Tour is back July 14th at the Superdome in New Orleans. Tickets are on sale now. But you could register now as well at 929thegame.com for a chance to win a trip to New Orleans to see the Rolling Stones. We'll come back. We'll talk about the other issues, the non-TAC, the non-Vic-related issues that the Falcons might have in 2019 that haven't really been discussed that much yet. Here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, John Chuckery in for Randy McMichael, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Randy McMichael out all week celebrating his birthday. Believe he's headed to Cuba. Good for him. Sounds like a good time. John Chuckery in for him today. And we're with you till 2 o'clock this afternoon. You can follow me on Twitter at TBM929. You can follow Chuck on Twitter at JMCH316 and the station at 929 The Game. The Solomon Brothers Diamond text line open as well. And coming up in 20 minutes, we'll chat with Andy Bailey, NBA writer for Bleacher Report, talk about the NBA Finals last night, looking ahead, all the injuries that are impacting the NBA Finals right now. And, of course, got to get his thoughts on some of these Hawks draft rumors that are circulating.
Lots of saucy stuff.
8 and 10 for number 3. That was
Blake
talked
Griffin
about last
was
week.
Another guy that was thrown out of nowhere.
I couldn't believe that got started on Twitter last night. We'll ask Andy Bailey about this coming up in 20 minutes, but that just made me laugh. If Blake Griffin comes to this team in a trade, in any capacity, and anything worth value is given up, then I don't know anything about Travis Schlenk. Travis Schlenk has been a complete mystery to me thus far in his tenure, if Blake Griffin ends up as a part of this Atlanta Hawks
especially
team.
With the names they were throwing out last
night. Yeah, like John Collins.
Yeah.
No. That doesn't sound like something that he would do, and it certainly doesn't sound like something that I would be supportive of. All right, so Dan Quinn was on with Dukes of Bell on Friday. They talked about a lot of different things. Tack McKinley and Vic Beasley came up, of course, in different capacities, Vic Beasley not being there. Dan Quinn actually sounded legitimately, I mean, he said the word bummed. He sounded bummed out that Vic Beasley wasn't there last week. Hopefully Vic Beasley is there next week for mandatory minicamp,
well,
and Vic Beasley has said that he will be.
He said he will be. So we're good.
Hopefully he will be, and he said that he will be, so we'll take him at his word and see him when he gets there. Those two guys and the pass rush in general have gotten a lot of conversation this offseason, rightfully so. It's troubling that two first-round draft picks have done what they've done the last 2 years combined, and you need to get more from those two guys. We agree on that. That is something that is
absolutely
true. Well, I think
their season hangs in the balance on a lot of that stuff.
I think so, too. I think that the success that they have next season has a lot to do with the success that you have next season.
Yeah, it'll be the difference between, okay, we found a way in the playoffs, and, hey, we can go win a Super Bowl.
Yes, I agree with that. And whether you call it 20 sacks between the two of them or you want to give them individual numbers, whatever it is, they've got to be successful as a pass rush. And Adrian Claiborne, too, as a supporting role in that unit. But that's not the only issue. And we kind of talk about them as if, well, if Tack and Vic are this, then everything's fine. There's some other stuff, too, that when I look at this team, like, I'm excited. I think 2019 has a chance to be a really great year for the Falcons. But there's other stuff that stands out to me, like, all right, Ricardo Allen, maybe not most specifically, but Ricardo Allen as one of the examples, as something that, all right, that has to be really good too. And I'm not sure where he's at health-wise.
I think it's both of those guys, though, isn't it?
Keanu Neal, too?
That's one of my takes.
The entire secondary.
Yeah, I think that one of my takes is making sure that those two guys are healthy for game one. And if that means they don't see a snap in the preseason or anything like that, okay, as long as my two safeties are healthy come game one. I worry a little bit about that they're going to be ready to play NFL football week one. As long as they're healthy and ready to play, I'll feel a lot better. But I think that is definitely something that you have to say is one of those things that not so much their ability, but are they healthy and ready to play when week one hits?
I agree with that totally. And you look at the secondary all overall, I mean, all four of them or five of them, if you want to talk about the nickel package, is there a single one of them that you don't look at and have a concern or two? Or I guess I'll ask it to you this way. Of the five guys that are supposed to be the starters in the secondary, Isaiah Oliver, Desmond Trufant, DeMonte KZ, Ricardo Allen, and Keanu Neal, which one of those guys do you have the least concerns about?
The least concerns? You guys probably won't agree with me, but Desmond Trufant.
Me too. But I don't know that that's a good thing. Like, that means that there's a lot of other concerns about those other four guys.
I think with Trufant, because I think he can be better, and the plays were there for Trufant. He's just got to make them. He's got to catch the football. Literally, that's if he catches... If he caught the football at all last year, his season would have looked totally different.
Agreed.
Literally, that's all he had to do.
Cincinnati game.
Yep.
Dallas game.
Yep.
New Orleans game.
Yep. He catches the football. His season looks totally different on paper, on visual. So if he can do that, then I think you're okay. It's that other guy I got concerns about. Because if you tell me that if for whatever reason Vic and Tack don't get enough of it done, it's going to put all those guys back there under a lot of pressure. And it's cool to be in the nickel and all that kind of stuff. Now Isaiah Oliver's going to line up as the number two out there by himself. And that's a lot, you know, and he got to play some and start. I get that. No pressure when you weren't a playoff team. You know, I know they weren't mathematically eliminated until, what, week 14 or something like that.
But there was a reason why he was out there as a starter.
Exactly.
It was because the season was in the trash can because of injuries, and you knew you were going to move on from Robert Alford because of how much it benefited you financially. Right. He said, we got to get this guy some reps because he hadn't got on the field hardly at all through the first, 11, 12 weeks of the season. Right. So, yeah, that's why you got him out there. And look, I'm with you. I think he can be good. But I don't know. I mean, I haven't.
Oh, we don't know. We don't have any idea what his body of work
is. There's no verifiable evidence as an NFL football player. And I saw a couple tweet threads over the weekend and people talking about Isaiah Oliver's ability. And every little piece of footage I saw was from him when he was wearing a Colorado Buffaloes jersey, which is fine. That's good. That's nice. That's excellent.
Yeah, it's great.
But it's not the same.
No, it's not.
So I got a big question mark next to Isaiah Oliver's name. I know that we saw DeMonte KZ play last year and had a nice year intercepting the football in the free safety role. Well, he's going to play the nickel corner now. That's a totally different position.
A new role for these guys.
So again, there's no evidence.
There's no pedigree for these guys
that you can show me that he can do that.
Exactly. There's no pedigree for
NFL
those two
evidence.
Guys. Yeah. There's no pedigree for those guys that tell you that at the position that they're going to play and the responsibility that's going to come with it that they've succeeded in that role. Yeah, KZ did a lot of nice things. And I also go back to this team, you know, look, this is Super Bowl or bust. I there's no less expectation for me.
No.
So, you know, this whole idea of, well, we're kind of, you know, we fledged long last year and we weren't really in the playoff picture and all that. Okay. Well, if that's the case this year, then there'll be a new head coach the following season. So, you know, these guys are going to come out of the chute with, okay, guys, you got to get it done week one against Minnesota, week two against Philadelphia. You got to get it done now. You know, there's no building into all of this. Got to win games now.
This is the to me, this is the same exact mentality that I take into 2019 that I took into 2018.
Uh-huh.
The only difference is you're not coming off a team that went to back-to-back playoffs and came up short against Philadelphia. Last year, you're talking about a team that missed out because of injuries and other things, but injuries played a large factor in it, and especially if that's the case, which has been the team narrative. Like, well, things are going to be different. The biggest additions we've made are bringing back Deion Jones. Or bringing back Keanu Neal, bringing back, okay, well, if that's true, then the expectation is absolutely Super Bowl or bust, and I'm with you. And so you talk about guys that if there's no evidence of them being able to do it in the NFL, like Isaiah Oliver and DeMonte Casey at that position and some of the other young guys, the guys that there is evidence of them being able to do it in the NFL, it's either been a while, like Vic Beasley,
right,
or you didn't see it last year because they were injured.
Exactly. They got to be better. You know, I mean, you need Desmond Trufant to be better.
Now, there
I mean,
is it. There is evidence of him being able
Absolutely.
To do it in the NFL.
Yeah, there, and that's why I say that's why I feel better about him. You know, again, maybe that's a lesser of the evils or whatever like that. I'll give you another one, too. I feel good about it, but I know there are several people that don't feel good about it. You sure our kicking game's okay?
No. Why would I be? Like,
Tavecchio was pretty good when he was here.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, okay. So
in a very small amount of time, all
so
indoors.
So if he's 85% versus the 92% that Matt Bryant was.
It depends on where that 7% comes from.
Exactly.
Because Matt Bryant might have, what was it, to call it 92%. He was nearly 100% on the ones that really, really mattered. The
but
end of games, end of halves, ones that were going to make a difference.
But I will also say, though, too, Andy, if score enough touchdowns and my kicker doesn't have to kick a lot of field goals, I ain't worried about it. I'm not. That's why I don't have as much angst, is because I think this offense gets it cranked up this year to where we don't have to try to outfield goal some teams at times. It's time for this team to get back into 2016, get in the touchdown end zone type of mode. You've improved your offensive line, you're bringing your running back back. That automatically, just that alone, those moves should make you better. Because you haven't lost anybody else.
No, you're correct. I mean, there were times, weeks on end, where Matt Bryant was the not only most consistent, but like most important player on the Falcons team.
He was your most important offensive player.
In 17 and 18.
Yeah.
Because of how stalled the offense was. And look, you spent a lot of time in the offseason trying to upgrade the offense.
Yeah.
All the veterans, as Dan Quinn said to Dukes and Bell, hundreds of years of offensive play calling experience that they've added to the staff this offseason. That's good. Equity that you spent in the draft. That's good. Two first-round guys. Long-term solutions, as you like to call it. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
As well as free agent money. So the offense has been addressed up to this point. Now, is it going to get fixed?
We'll see. 24 is back. That's a big cog in your arsenal that you didn't have. You know, Tevin Coleman, a really good player. I'm curious what he does. Some people think he's going to be a 1,000-yard running back in San Francisco. But there was a lot of times where, yeah, you can blame offensive line. He took a lot of negative yardage plays on this team last year. And there was a lot of times where you're like, man, go. You think with your offensive line, and even things like the tight ends, even the tight end signings are, let's get north-south with those guys, you know, and put Free back there. It's not third and two in the wild bird falcon thing with Sanu. If Devontae Freeman can get back to 1,000 yards and 55 catches, offense will look totally different.
And Devontae is another one of those examples of, there's evidence that he can. And look, if Devontae is healthy, Devontae is fantastic. But that H word with Devontae, there's no guarantee that he's going to be.
What is that game? What is that number of games played?
Right. And do you protect him? And how much do you have to protect him? And is it a pitch count and all that kind of stuff?
And I'm excited about Allison. I mean, I'm excited about Kadri Allison, not a pit. I think he's... I could see him getting you 450 yards this year.
We'll get back into some of what Dan Quinn had to say at the top of the hour, the noon hour, when we get to the most important audio in the world. You can also check out on 929thegame.com right now on the midday show page, conversation we had in the 10 o'clock hour about whether or not Atlanta United can actually be better by the end of 2019 than they were at the end of 2018. Coming up next, though, Andy Bailey from Bleacher Report going to join us. He's their head NBA writer. Talk a little NBA Finals. Throw some Hawks draft questions at him as well, right here on the midday show with Andy and Randy Johnson. Chuckery in for Randy McMichael today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy. John Chuckery in for Randy McMichael today. Coming up in 20 minutes, right at the top of the noon hour, we'll get to the most important audio in the entire universe, get back into some Braves, some Atlanta United, Terrell Owens talking trash about Donovan McNabb. Plenty to get into at the top of the noon hour. Before we do that, though, wanted to talk some NBA Finals here and maybe get a little bit of extra perspective on what exactly is going on right now as the series is tied 1-1. The Warriors win last night. Joining us now on the WadeFord.com hotline, Andy Bailey, NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Andy, how are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
We're doing great, man. I love the article that you wrote last night about where the Warriors are right now and comparing them to John Wick. If you wouldn't mind expanding on that comparison a little bit for our listening audience.
Sure. And thanks for the compliment. It was at some point while writing that story, it just kind of hit me that John Wick starts that series out, you know, obviously with a little bit of tragedy, but physically he looks like he's fit and pretty fresh, and everything goes as fine as can be in that circumstance for him. I mean, I don't think he comes close to losing a fight in the first, I don't know, half of that first movie. And that's kind of how the Warriors felt at the start of this dynasty. They looked invincible. Obviously, they ran into some legitimate adversity when they lost in 2016, but they looked like this juggernaut that just could not be stopped for a while. And then by the end of this most recent John Wick, and hopefully this isn't too much of a spoiler, but he's very, very beat up over the course of this three-movie span, and that's kind of what the Warriors are now. I think their injury report now is six or seven players long. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I know Thompson's got the hamstring. Durant's obviously out with a bad calf. Chest contusion for Kevon Looney. Iguodala's hampered. And I think there's a few that I'm missing even there. And Cousins, who is playing, just tore his quad a few rounds ago. I couldn't have imagined he would be back when that injury first happened. So they are very, very beat up at this point. And the fact that they're still sort of pushing forward, this is starting to morph into one of their bigger accomplishments to me, because the knock on them for years was, oh, they've just gotten lucky, especially that first title year. It was like, oh, you know, the Grizzlies were missing a player, and you know, they'd go through all the series and say they're missing somebody. But now the health thing has finally caught up to the Warriors, and they're still they've stolen home court advantage in the NBA Finals, even with all this stuff stacked against them.
Andy, is one of the big takeaways, even from just the entire NBA playoffs, is, you know, any craziness aside, I think we're really getting an education on how good of a player Draymond Green is and how important he is to that franchise. But just on both ends of the court, still maybe one of the less talked about guys for how good he is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if you caught Nick Friedel at ESPN had a pretty good article about this a couple days ago. And Draymond said, my role is different when Kevin Durant isn't out there. Right. And I don't think it was a knock against Durant. In fact, he even said that, you know, it's a nice luxury to have when Durant's out there. If a set doesn't work, we just throw him the ball and he can go and get us a bucket. But with Durant out, we've seen Draymond handle the ball a lot more. It looks like kind of what he was doing in 2014-15 and 2015-16, where he's initiating offense, he's going coast-to-coast. He's even scoring a little bit. I think for the series, he's nearly averaging a triple-double. I don't know how far off he is on assists, but I know he's got the double digits in points and rebounds. So he does a little bit of everything for them. And I've only talked about offense, and obviously his biggest calling card over the course of his career is on the other end. And he was fantastic when he was matched up with Kawhi Leonard last night. So he does everything for them. He really is sort of that, you know, cliche Swiss Army knife guy. But for him to really step up, I think a lot of people have been talking about, you know, the last couple weeks with Durant have reminded us of, you know, how good Stephen Curry can be when it's his own team, and I think that's true. But Draymond Green is probably giving us just as many reminders as Curry is right now.
Andy Bailey joining us here on the Midday Show, NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Andrew D. Bailey, also co-host of the podcast Hardwood Knox. Now, you mentioned all the injuries and everything that Golden State is dealing with and the fact that they still won last night. How much of a momentum shifter was last night? And look, the first, 7 minutes of the third quarter, I suppose, last night specifically, but how much of a momentum swing was that game last night?
Yeah, I think it's pretty big. Somebody asked me a question this morning, why are there such big narrative swings after each game? And I think it has a lot to do with social media and a lot of journalism outlets trying to figure out how to make money in today's age as papers go out. But there was a lot of doom and gloom after game one. And I think it was actually, a lot of it was warranted, because by some measures, this is the best team that the Warriors have faced in the finals in this 5-year run. The measure that I'm thinking of doesn't account for the fact that LeBron is generally a different player in the playoffs than he is in the regular season. And the Raptors obviously don't have LeBron. But a metric called simple rating system that combines point differential and strength of schedule, the Raptors had a better simple rating system than any of those four Cavs teams. And again, it's just a regular season number, but I think it is significant, because this is a very, very good Raptors team. And they looked like they were in control for all of game one. They looked like they were in control for most of the first half of game two. And that third quarter was like, and they did this to the Blazers a few times too. It's like you can kind of hold the Warriors down for two, three, maybe even 3.5 quarters, but they are prone to those 5 or 6 minute runs that just can win a game. It's pretty crazy. I can't think of another team off the top of my head that was like that, where they could just play their peak basketball for such a small stretch of a game and still win. And even when they're, we've talked about it a few times now, even when they're hobbled, if they've got one or two of those guys out there, they're prone to do it. Klay Thompson famously had that 37-point quarter a few years ago, so he can do it by himself. We know Curry can do it by himself. There are stretches when Draymond takes over a game. He doesn't do it with points, but he does it with all the other stuff, like you mentioned. So they are incredibly difficult to hold down, and now the Raptors have experienced one of those quick surges, and they know it's probably coming in each of the next two games. So certainly a lot of momentum with the Warriors right now. They've got home court advantage, and that's a difficult spot for the Raptors to be in.
NBA writer from Bleacher Report, Annie Bailey, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Do you think the Warriors have their mind made up on Kevin Durant and what they want to do, or do you think that this last couple of series is influencing maybe what direction they want to go?
Well, I think from the Warriors' perspective, they would probably love to have Kevin Durant back regardless of how this series went. I think they are certainly at one level when they have both Curry and Durant, and that's the nearly invincible level. I don't think they're that much worse when they have Curry and no Durant. In fact, statistically, they're still a dominant team in those cases. I think I just looked this up the other day. I think there's still something like plus 12 points per 48 minutes over the last 5 years when Curry plays and Durant does not play. It's plus 17 or something crazy like that when they both play. So they're certainly better when Durant's out there, but they're still a dominant team without him. So if it was up to them, I think they'd have Durant back regardless. I mean, they're going to pay a massive tax bill if that happens. They'd probably max out Klay Thompson too and just sort of figure things out after that. But they have a nice fallback position where they can say, we may not have Durant, but we still have the only unanimous MVP in NBA history, a guy who won back-to-back MVPs. We have a guy who can light you up for a quarter or two in Klay Thompson. We have this extremely versatile point forward who can also dominate any defensive matchup you throw at him. So they're going to be, I think, relatively speaking, fine if Kevin Durant leaves. And in fact, a lot of people have kind of buried the Warriors and said, well, this is the end of their run if Durant leaves. I think they should still be one of the favorites for the title, even if he's gone. But if it were up to them, I'm sure they'd have him back. The question is, has Durant already made up his mind? And I have no idea if this series influences him one way or the other. There's so many different variables in this series. Like, what does he think if they win without him? What does he think if they struggle without him? And then he comes back and takes them to a win and wins Finals MVP. There's so many different ways this can go. But yeah, I think if it was up to the Warriors, they would sign him as soon as they possibly could.
No shortage of storylines, I think is fair to say, through two games here in the NBA Finals, with still at least three to go, and look, hopefully five to go. Andy, we appreciate it so much for the time today.
Thanks,
Andy. Have a great one.
Thanks for having me.
Andy Bailey there from Bleacher Report, and he's right. I mean, just the Kevin Durant conversations in on their own are in, like, what does this do to the Kevin Durant narrative if they win it without him? There's already so many people that are anti-Kevin Durant anyway. They do this thing without him? Oh.
I'm sure that the Warriors would love to have him back, but you just already said, talk about luxury tax to bring him and Klay back?
Yeah.
I mean, there comes a point where even there's not a net amount of money that you can make up to have to pay that kind of luxury bill.
Well, especially if they don't need him, if they can win this series,
right, exactly.
And he's not on the
That's
court.
That's my point, is right. That they've shown it before, they've shown it again. Yeah, everybody, who wouldn't love to have Kevin Durant?
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the most important audio in the entire universe.
I can't wait.
I know, it's the most.
Yeah, wow.
It's not the second most. It is all the most important audio in the world. And we'll get to it all coming up next.
Bears loose.
Right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. John Chuckery in for Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.